And we're back, okay? Like I said, we are going to talk about books. I just finished reading the book Macbeth, and Gina just put an ice cube on my foot. Oh, it was her hand, which was as cold as an ice cube. But anyway, I just finished reading Macbeth. It was tragic, as tragedies usually are. But it was good, very good. Apparently, there's a new movie coming out of Macbeth. I did not know this until yesterday. I think I was on IMDb and I saw a trailer. Well, I didn't watch the trailer, but I saw a trailer for a new version of Macbeth. I have. Apparently, they just won that round.
We're watching Family Feud.
Yeah. But yeah, apparently, yeah, Roman Polanski did a movie version of Macbeth, and I got it. I just got to watch it. It's like 140 minutes long. But anyway, it was a very interesting play. Not the most historically accurate thing ever, but it was... But it was very, very good. I actually am a fan of Shakespeare. Well, most Shakespeare. I think the only Shakespeare play I've ever read that I didn't really think was all that good, believe it or not, was Romeo and Juliet.
I read that. And heard a drama of it, too.
Yeah.
It was like, really? Like,
I mean...
That stupid?
There were... I mean, the beginning was pretty good, but everything after Tybalt's death was just kind of... Yeah. I don't know. That's just my opinion as a consumer. I love The Tempest, The Merchant of Venice, Measure for Measure, Coriolanus, Julius Caesar, King Lear. I never read Hamlet, but I watched the movie with Mel Gibson. I didn't think much of it, but that's all right.
Version older than that, I think.
Well, yeah. They've been making Shakespeare's movies since the golden age of cinema.
Oh.
There was actually a version done by Kenneth Branagh that was supposed to be absolutely wonderful and long. But hey, Shakespeare's plays are long. It's five. Most of his plays were five acts, if not all of them. But that's enough of Shakespeare. I'm also reading this book called Distant Dreams, which is the first book in a series called Ribbons of Steel. Gina turned me on to this book. I like it. I think it has some really good ideas. It has started to slow down a little bit, but good books do that sometimes. So, but it's set in 1835 when the railroad was starting to boom in the United States, and they're talking about building the Transcontinental Railroad. I believe that's the Transcontinental Railroad. History wasn't one of my best subjects, so please correct me. But basically, they were looking to expand to the west and basically build the railroad from the East Coast to Texas. Ah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Gin and tonic. Good for what ails you.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm kidding. It's just a refreshing drink, after dinner drink. And I ran out of gin, so won't be drinking anymore tonight. Let's see, other books. I finished reading Indiana Jones and the Philosopher's Stone. Which actually precedes Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, or as it's known in the United States, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yay, Harry Potter.
And I would still really like to know why they had to change the name from Philosopher's Stone to Sorcerer's Stone for the U.S. But that's neither here nor there. The Indiana Jones book was okay.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was interesting, but I honestly think it could have been longer. And they could have put a little bit more detail into it, especially concerning the Voynich manuscript. Overall, it was interesting. Well, the interesting part about it is that usually Indiana Jones fights against Nazis. This time, his main enemy were Italian fascists. So, So that was interesting. There's another Indiana Jones book I started reading. For the life of me, I can't remember what it's called, but I know it's when he's young. He's got his first professorship, so he's probably in his late 20s or early 30s. And I think that this has to do with the history of Stonehenge and the Druids and all that good stuff. So that's what I'm reading now. I'm trying to muscle my way through Dreams in the Witch House by H.P. Lovecraft.
He's hard.
Yeah. H.P. Lovecraft had a very visionary imagination. His stories are very, very good. The one thing that a lot of Lovecraft stories lacks, which is something that I actually look for in a lot of stories, in books and short stories that I read, is character development. He develops his ideas very, very well. He develops his characters. If he develops his characters, it's with minimal effort. This is just my opinion as a writer. That is one thing that Edgar Allan Poe did very well that H.P. Lovecraft kind of, I don't want to say got lazy about, but he kind of set aside character development for his idea development, which, hey, why not? I mean, if that's what you like, that's what you like. I would like to see a little bit more character development, but his ideas are very, 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 very interesting, very strange, and
hard books to read.
Kind of, yeah. And the thing about it is, that's another thing about H.P. Lovecraft that not a lot of people ever comment on, but I'm starting to notice it the more Lovecraft I read. The reason his language is difficult is I think he was deliberately trying to make... he was basically showing off.
Aww.
It's something that I learned at OSU. I was a creative writing major at OSU, and now I'm in wastewater treatment, which I'm not real proud of, but hey, I'm still writing, so give me credit. But that is one thing that I was actually taught, is basically the ups and downs of what they called overwriting. Basically, showing off your command of the English language. In a lot of ways, it makes for elegant prose, but if it takes away from the idea of your... If it takes away from the idea... That was trivia crack. I'll try that later. If it takes away from the idea of your story, then you need to simplify your language a little bit. And in some cases, especially in H.P. Lovecraft, there are times where his technical writing was very... It helped his work. Dreams in the Witch House, in Dreams in the Witch House, his language is actually helping to explain the ideas that he's putting forth, because they're very technical and very complicated, and the way he's describing them is basically helping the reader understand what he has in mind. There's a story he did called The Nameless City, where I'm like... If H.P. Lovecraft were in the room, I would have told him to shut the fuck up and get to the point, because you're starting to bore me to tears.
Sorry,
but
you really have said that?
Oh yeah, I would have said it just like that too. Wow, I've been talking for 9 minutes about this. I hope I haven't bored anybody to tears. But I have been hearing a lot of boos about writing, so I might throw in my 2 cents about writing in future boos, but I'm not sure, because I have a stack of stories, but I've just never been published. Maybe that's because I have an overwhelming fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
But, and as Gina could tell you, I'm a worrywart.
Yeah.
I'm like, what if this and what if that? But I'll talk about that in a future boo. Maybe tomorrow, maybe tonight. Who knows how the night goes. So I will talk to you guys later. Thank you for listening. Pick your favorite adjective and have that kind of a day.